Now, there we go. Good morning. If you're visiting, a special welcome to you. If you are continuing to return here, we love you, and we're glad that you're here as well, and you get a special welcome. This is a lot of fun. Today is a very special Sunday, and I get the opportunity and the privilege to speak a little bit about eldership. And eldership, strangely enough, there's a lot of confusion in the church and confusion in the world as to what elders are, because elders usually show up at your door in a suit and they look like they're 12 years old. Some of them look really, really tall, and they show up and they knock and they go, "Hi, I'm Elder so-and-so." And you get that. That's not the type of eldership that we're talking about here. We're talking about the eldership that comes right from the Bible. And so we're going to start with going to 1 Peter chapter 5. And so we're going to have some fun with that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. And I want to frame this out this morning in a particular way. I'm going to read it from the Message, and so we're going to get that up on the screen there for you, if you can see it barely, because it's sunny, but that's okay. It says, I have a special concern for you church leaders. I know what it's like to be a leader, in on Christ's sufferings, as well as the coming glory. Here's my concern, that you care for God's flock with all diligence as a shepherd, not because you have to, but because you want to please God, not calculating what you can get out of it, but acting spontaneously, not bossily telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way. So you pray with me. Jesus, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for those that you have called to be in eldership in this church. We thank you that you started the work in this church, and you have revealed yourself powerfully in and through us. And so we thank you for everyone that has come here today, for those that are going to be watching online. We bless you for the good foundation that you have laid in this church and in this community. And we ask that today we would begin to move forward into a new space, into a new realm, into new unity, into new movements of holiness, of peace, of joy, and of love. Father, we trust you this day with our cares and concerns, and we thank you that you've established and shown yourself to us through your word and the witness of leaders that you've appointed. And so we thank you for leadership. We thank you for servanthood. We thank you for washing each other's feet. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen. So a couple years ago, we started a young leadership training kind of time where we gathered around Fireside and had some young guys in particular. It wasn't exclusive in our church, wasn't exclusive, but it was something that was very relational. And part of the challenge I put out to the about 17 young men in there was, why not consider what it would look like for you to be a leader? And so we began a quest of, am I even called to be an elder? Am I called to be a leader? And so we read books, we chatted, we did some training, and it was a fantastic time. And so this space that we occupied, a fireside, began to reveal certain things. And then several months ago, our church began going through a bit of turmoil and a bit of space that was seemingly pretty awkward. When it was just stuff was happening, there was some awkwardness around what was happening, and all of a sudden, around this fireside, we began to witness four men in particular that began to step into a new space and carry a new weight. And this was a real magical moment for us to watch, because the witness didn't just come from my heart towards them. The witness was amongst many others that have grown up with these guys, people that they're very familiar with. And they looked, and all of a sudden there was this movement outwards and this stepping into a new space where they began to look like they were going to carry a weight that was more than just for them, that was for the sake of others. And it's always difficult to watch people that you've grown up with, that you know their flaws, you've gotten fights with them, you've watched them be very successful in certain things and watched them fail in other ways. And it's always wonderful and terrifying all at the same time to be able to entrust yourself to a leader that you're familiar with. Because all leaders struggle. And leadership is something that a lot of people in the world, they want to go after. They want to go, I'm a leader. I'm a superstar. I'm a rock star. And they want to be the best of the best of the best. But leadership in the kingdom of God has more to do with carrying a weight on behalf of others, a weight that is often behind the scenes, a weight that is caring and compassionate for those that they are supposed to be leading. A father in the home does not step in and go, I'm the father, you need to sit down, shut up, and keep quiet. A father gently serves and guides and directs and plans and purposes all of these types of things to create an environment for his family to flourish in. And eldership and leadership is all about flourishing. It's all about the flourishing of the people of God. And so we got to witness those that we believe God set aside as the first wave, if you will, of new leadership that's taking place in this church. This is not going to be exclusively to males. In fact, we are presenting before you today families. Families. And this is so exciting because as God began to reveal the first steps and the first wave of these young elders, we began to recognize something very beautiful that resonates about the ministry that God has entrusted to us in this church. And that is the ministry of healing and reconciliation, specifically in the areas of family. Now get this, of the four families that are coming forward and going to be presented today, every single one of them have children that have grandparents that are in this church. Is that not amazing? Generation after generation after generation of godly leadership, of wholehearted service. And some of them have godly leadership and service on both sides. These kids are growing up in this church with families and witnesses of what it looks like to be a God-fearing lover of Christ. Is that not special? Yeah. Now, we didn't plan that. That wasn't an intentionality. On my best days, I don't think I'm that creative. We began to explore in our hearts, okay, what does leadership look like? And then these four young men in particular, and there's many other leaders in this church, and Lord willing, we're going to begin to see many more of them rise up and step into the spaces that God has called them, both men and women, in ways, in areas that's going to feed the life and the vision that is in this church and actually create a culture of wonderful expressions of Christ's beauty and joy in Cloverdale and in the nations. So this space that these young guys have walked in is absolutely amazing because they've walked in it fearfully. They didn't really wake up one day going, I want to be an elder. In fact, some of them went, oh no. Because there's all this muddied water around eldership. We got all of them to interview husbands and wives interview other leaders in other churches so they get a witness and a testimony as to what it looks like to be an elder, both good and bad. And one of the guys went into interviewed one of them, one of the amazing man of God, and sat down over lunch with them. And the first things that I heard, anyways, that came out of his mouth was, run. And then, you know, the funniest thing about that is that one of these young men actually felt more sure of his calling to eldership when he heard such real brass tacks information like, run. You better get out of here, otherwise you're not going to get out alive. And that young man in particular went, here I go. Here I go. So this means something very specific for our church. something very beautiful for our church. This day is very special. And it's a day where we as a church are entering into something new. Something that is absolutely going to benefit all of us. This is a day for each one that is here. It is not just about these four families that we're setting aside. We're actually, as a church, going, look at God's plan for our church and the witness of His love in this world. We are going to see some new movements and new spaces as we honor these leaders and as we love them, because they are here for you to excel, for you to be equipped in the ministry that God has. And there are many ministries that God has here that have been lying dormant, that life is going to be breathed into them, and we're going to come alive as a church as a result. Amen. Specifically, the creative arts ministry of flagging, of actually looking at the spaces and the colors that God has so, like, that He loves. God loves colors. He loves the creative. He loves the arts. And we're going to see people pick up paintbrushes that they've put down. People going to step into musical ministry in new and fresh ways. Expressions, right expressions of what God looks like. And right expressions of what God is doing, so that it will encourage all of us. So hear the tone of eldership. This is the Apostle Peter, who is writing about his major concern for his leaders. And the whole tone is one of gentleness. One of not lording things over, saying, I'm in charge, therefore you follow me. But rather coming alongside and serving. So he says this, here's my concern, that you care for God's flock with all diligence of a shepherd. Not because you have to, but because you want to please God. Not calculating what you can get out of it, but acting spontaneously. Not bossily telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way. Last night, about 12:30 in the morning, about 1 o'clock, the horse, the mama horse that's on my property, gave birth to a little foal. Amazing being able to witness God's creation. This little thing / big thing, probably 250 pounds, just this monster, comes out and is all wobbly and funny and was rolling around in the hay. And so my wife and I were there, and there was a bunch of other people there, the owners of the horse in particular, were there. And everybody, their eyes were lit up with simple beauty, simple joy at the gift of life. And this was something just amazing to watch. This little, he's huge. Anyways, this giant thing that came out of this horse, who's also giant, going like, really, you're that big? Like, you carried that in there? Like, ouch, 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 ouch. And I was amazed at the cat-like nature of this baby horse. And this horse was like floppy with like its arms, like I'm not going to do it very well, but it's rolling around on the hay and just kind of playing. And then all of a sudden it'll get up because it needs to feed. Apparently, learned this last early this morning, I guess. But apparently there's two things that need to take place for a baby horse. The first one is they need to find their source of milk, and they need to know how to access it. And they also need to poop. It's a big deal. Apparently, if they don't, they can actually die. Little strange. I know you came to church specifically to find this type of information, and now that useless information was just flush away. But here's the reality, though. There was a massive amount of care and concern for this horse to find a source of nourishment. And to walk into, if you will, the bodily functions that make a healthy horse. And everybody's around. And then I watched something happen that I believed God specifically set up for today. Is I watched the owner of the horse and this other lady that cares for the horse. They grabbed the hindquarters of this horse and helped the horse to begin to nurse. And all the horse needed, horses are blind for the first 2 days. Funniest thing to watch a horse trying to find his mom, and can, like, he can smell it, but then he runs into the barn walls. very funny. I couldn't stop laughing. Just like, he's getting up there. He's not getting hurt. He's a beast. He just goes, poof. Oh, okay, no, mom's not there. Go over here. Poof. Oh, mom's not there. Oh, there's mom. There's mom. And it was just amazing looking at the new life that was taking place. And so what really encouraged me is that I watched this guy come behind this horse and cause it to stand properly. And then to move the horse in a way so this horse would begin to know what it looks like to feed himself. And once it happened, he was able to let go of the hindquarters of the horse, and the horse was able to do it all by itself. Just seconds old. Seconds old. And this horse couldn't figure out how it was supposed to do that before it had someone come and grab behind and support them into a new space, because it was unfamiliar territory. And I felt that the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly in that moment that that is the call and role of eldership. Where the focus is not, it's the focus is not telling the horse what to do. The focus is actually getting behind the horse, or subsequently the people of God, getting behind them, supporting them in a way that causes them to do the very work that they're destined and born to do. And I believe that these young families are going to begin to do that for our church, that they're going to come behind in ways that you might see and in ways that you will not ever know about. That they will protect, they will guard, they will care for this church in such a way. They will be praying for us in particular ways. And one of this, a mysterious verse in the Bible is James chapter 5. And it says this, if you're sick, call the elders and they will come pray for you. And you will be healed. Whoa, call the elders. Now, this is something that is a dormant longing in our hearts, to see authentic power that comes directly from God. And there is a biblical promise. It doesn't make the elders more special than other people. Some people have the gift of healing. That's an actual gift that people carry, just like a gift of prophecy, just like the gift of helps. I love people that have the gift of helps. My two favorite gifts are not apostle, prophet, teacher. They are hospitality gift and gift of help gifts. Those are my most favorite gifts to enjoy in other people. The gift of helps is the gift of giving. People have called them the bag men or bag women of the kingdom. But bag women sounds a little drug. No. So. But I love, you come into a home where they, like, the person has a hospitality gift, what a happy home that is to come into, isn't it? You notice the difference. Like, you come into a home and you're just like, wow, that is a gift. That is a gift. Because you feel at home, you feel welcomed, and they can welcome a stranger that you've barely known into the home, and they can feel at home. Love that gift. Love that gift. But what eldership is supposed to do is cause gifts in us to flourish. And I believe in particular, God is setting us aside, setting us apart for his harvest to come in. And so we need right leadership and right structures in place for the sake of those that are coming in. Those that have not heard the gospel, they're going to come in and receive the word of truth. So be encouraged in this space as a church that if you have sickness, you're going to have some of these elders. They're going to come to your home. Some of them are going to pick up some other people, and they're going to go into the space in your home or the hospitals that you might be in. They're going to pray for you. They're going to anoint you with oil and believe and ask largely on behalf of others. That's what we're going to get to do as a people. We're going to get to, as a people, see young families in particular be established in leadership. Because in the kingdom of God, it's not dependent on age. Leadership is never dependent on age. Age alone does not make you an elder. But it's actually a gift and a calling and an anointing that God gives specifically for such a time as this. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see these four families come, and you're going to watch them evolve right in front of you. That over the next coming months, you're going to see a different anointing that is on them. And that is not to make you think for a moment that these are the special ones and you're just put aside. This is actually to give you hope and a beautiful purpose, knowing that God places anointing on people for a specific purpose, a specific time, and it's to encourage us, going, if he can do it for them, he's going to do it for us too. This is a hopeful Sunday. And I was just blown away that the ones that God chose first, because this didn't come from some creative capacity in my brain or in our pastor's brains. It didn't come from that. It came from watching who the Holy Spirit was drawing and coming alongside for this moment. And us going, okay, that looks amazing. And then to find out that they represent generations of Christians in a family dynamic where we believe that we are a family restoration center. We believe it. We believe that families find restoration here. And would you believe that with us as a church? Would you believe that you could see prodigals come home? Do you believe that this would be a safe space for those that have been wounded and hurt from other churches, other experiences in life, and they could find healing and purpose here? We've always been an open-handed church. And that's very difficult when you're family-focused. And that's not just for people being in a part of a family. You can be a single person in a family, correct? But part of the dilemma and dynamic that we find in this church is we've always been open-handed. That sometimes people come to us for a time and then they get moved on to other spaces. And you know what? That's very difficult in a family dynamic because you get attached to those people. But the kingdom of God is so much larger than just a church. And so we always want to steward rightly those that are here, because God has planted them here for a time, but maybe not forever. Yeah. And we can bless and release them. Bless and release them. Corey and Elisa, for example, have gone away. They bought a farm and they've gone away, but they have not left us. You will see them again. He's going to continue to lead worship here at different points. We're going to have to go pick him up at the ferry and shuffle him into church, but it's going to be awesome. But the kingdom of God, but he actually has walked into another church. And do you know the church's name? It's Christian Fellowship Center. CFC. Really? CCF, CFC, really funny. And he walks in, and you know that Corey's a piano player, and he walks in to the church and sees his piano on the stage. And he goes, all right. He goes, I thought I left it at Cloverdale Christian Fellowship. He goes, but it's here. And why I'm drawing attention to that just momentarily is because there is a sense of loss. Losing them is difficult, but we're not losing them. We're releasing them to go do what God's called them to do in the season and time that they're in right now. Because the kingdom of God is so much larger than just a building and a church and this church versus another church. So much larger. We bless and we release and we love the churches in this area because we want to see God breathe life into Cloverdale. Amen. And so therefore, he's called specific people that are able to get a job done for a time. And he uses everyone and he does not waste. And so the hope, I'm going to close with this. But the hope is this, that we would begin to move in step with the Holy Spirit. We as a church would begin to move in step with the Holy Spirit, and we get a fun exercise this morning. Those that we're going to present to you today, you're very familiar with. Some of you might have had issues with them at different points, and that's why we presented them a month ago, and so that you're able to have that time to work it out. But you're going to get to walk in something very special. You're going to get to walk today in not allowing familiarity to breed contempt. And sow into your own future by blessing and loving those that are going to be presented, because you yourself will be presented at some level, at some space, at some time. Can you hear that this morning? It's one of the hardest things ever to celebrate other people. It's not natural. We don't actually naturally walk into that and go, yes, that's what I want to do today. But in the church, we're meant to be diligent that way and constantly look at that and celebrate the moment that God has called someone towards, because when God begins to move in a particular way on these families, that means he's going to be moving in a particular way in our church. Amen. In our church. Can you hear that this morning? I just love it. I just want to read one more time in the message, if we can get up there. 1 Peter. I just love this. And I felt we didn't want to take a long time over explaining anything, because we're not going to be able to unpack every aspect of what it means to be an elder today. But I wanted to unpack momentarily the beauty and the gentleness that I believe is going to mark these families for the sake of our church. Because the Apostle Peter calls it a special concern. And he says, here's my concern, that you, and he's speaking to elders, that you care for God's flock. We believe this is God's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's God's church. And you are God's people. That we care for God's flock with all the diligence of a shepherd. All the diligence. Do you hear that word? It's constantly caring, constantly going towards, like that horse, constantly making sure that even simple bodily functions are taking place. In fact, last night, I had to run away, early this morning, I guess. I had to run away because I was going to be put forward to help give that horse an enema if it didn't produce what it needed to produce. And I was like, see you later, I'm not doing that job. TMI. Not because you have to, okay? Not because you have to. With all diligence, not because you have to, but because you want to please God. Not calculating what you can get out of it. I can guarantee today that these four young men and these four families are not wanting to be leaders because they want to get something out of it. They're doing it out of obedience and a greater love for our church than for their own safety. A greater love. So not calculating what you can get out of it, but acting spontaneously. Not bossily telling others what to do, but tenderly showing them the way. This is going to be wonderful. So we can, Sean, do you want to get the kids to come upstairs? We're going to begin to transition now. I just want to pray for you momentarily as we let the kids come back, because we want the families to be represented today, and we're going to begin to transition this part of our service. But just let me pray. If you're able, why don't you just close your eyes with me for a moment? I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for those that you have called specifically to this place. I thank you for the ministries that are here. And we ask that today you would breathe life into each and every one, that you would begin to restore families, that you would begin to bring healing into broken and dry spaces. We bless you for the many people that have come through this church and have been a blessing in this church. And we bless you for those that are here now and those that are going to be coming in. And we ask that you would have your way with us, that this day, as we set aside some to lead, some to serve, that you would look with delight and with pleasure on this day, that this would be a marker stone day. This would be a day where everything begins to change as a result. We're coming into a new season, Father. You've promised it, and you are going to complete this work that you've started. And so we thank you that you started it. And so I pray for dormant ministries in this place, that we begin to see life breathed into it. I pray for a release in the prophetic in unprecedented ways, that many would come to know who you are as we lift our voices in praise, in awe, and in wonder of who you are, of what you've done, in what you are doing. I bless you for the men and the women in this church. I bless you for the children that are in this church. And we ask that today you would breathe life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, there we go. Hallelujah. Is that exciting? I think it's wonderful. I'm going to be a little more formal than I normally am up here. I want to make sure that the words that are prepared are delivered, and that the elders get to hear what it is that they're getting into. So what's going to happen now is I will invite them up and tell you and them what's about to happen. Then I will ask the head of the house, and in this case it's the men, to answer some questions for me, if they will commit to some things on behalf of Christ and his body, which is you. We value the voices of the whole family. The husband and wife are equally important to us. And the kids, you'd be surprised how often the kids come up with great ideas. And we need them all. But today we are dealing with what we see biblically as heads of households. And so I will be speaking to them. They will speak on behalf of their families and themselves. So we'll do a little bit of explanation, then the vows. Then I will invite some people up. If you guys have words, anybody has words, my wife will have something to say over the new elders and perhaps over the church. Then I will make a specific charge to them, what they're to do, and a charge to you as what you as a participant in this ceremony should expect to give. Just like in a dedication ceremony where we dedicate the kids to the Lord, I ask you, will you do everything in your power to help this family raise these children in a godly fashion? I'll ask you to help the elders to eld, to be servants. The idea of, as I see it, of leadership in the church is not the typical triangle of business leadership, where most of us are at the bottom, and then the top guy, the CEO, is at the pinnacle or the peak of the triangle. It's inverted, so that you become more and more of a servant as you get toward the bottom, where most of us are on the top, being served by the ones that get more and more pointed. So you get to this place, and you get to be servant of all. I'm working hard to serve you to the best of my ability. And I'm in a game that says, he who serves last wins. Any of you that want to join me, come on. Oh boy, more. What are you guys doing down there? Okay, so let me invite some families up, and in no particular order. Dayton and Ruth Jackson, Shad and Heather Blackadder. You guys, come on up here with your kids. Andrew and Sarah Hawthorne. And Stefan and Amanda Leslie, come on up here. And it's okay if you say, way to go. Woo-hoo! You can clap, you can... They're buying steak lunch, so... they didn't know that yet. So these are the new elders. And so we're going to take them into that today. Yeah. So the formal side starts now. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is our privilege to witness the ordination of our elders here to the office of elder. The scriptures direct that elders be appointed in every church. The word of God distinguishes between elders who labor, particularly in preaching and teaching as ministers of the word, and elders who are charged with the supervision of the church. The elders of the church are called to rule over the church as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the chief shepherd has appointed overseers and shepherds to keep watch over the flock. The elders are to love the church of Christ and to encourage the members to attend faithfully to the means of grace, the proclamation of the word, and the participation in the sacraments. They are faithful. They are faithfully to administer Christian discipline, admonishing those who do not live in obedience to the Lord, and lovingly and patiently calling the stubborn and rebellious to repentance. Elders are called to maintain public worship to the glory of God and to build up the church in the knowledge and the love of Christ. They are to provide for biblical preaching and teaching, carefully overseeing the ministry of the word and the sacraments. They are to safeguard the church against false teaching. Those who serve well are assured that when the chief shepherd appears, they will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Office bearers are set apart by God to fulfill their spiritual calling in the church. They cannot do it faithfully in their own strength, so they must look to their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who is able to equip his servants for the holy work to which he has called them. We rejoice that in his faithful love, the Lord Jesus has provided these ones to serve in our church. With thankfulness, we receive these servants of the Lord from the hand of the chief shepherd. Now, I'm going to ask four questions. Pay attention. Because when I get to the bottom, I'm going to ask you, do you agree with it? And I'll ask each of you men. And if you agree, then say something like, I do, God helping me. Because you will need his help. Brothers, so that the church may hear that you are willing to take up your office in the presence of God and his church, answer the following questions. Do you believe that in the call of this congregation you are called by God himself to serve in this holy office? Number two, do you believe that the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice, and do you reject every doctrine in conflict with them? Number three, do you believe that the whole system of doctrine as taught in the creeds and the statement of faith of this church fully agree with the Word of God? And number four, do you promise to carry out the work of your office faithfully to love the church and all its members, to live a life worthy of your calling and submit yourself to the government and discipline of the church? Shad Blackadder, do you agree? Dayton Jackson?
I do, with God's help.
Andrew Hawthorne?
I will, with God's help.
And Stephen Leslie?
I will, with God's help.
You heard that. All the way through. So I'm going to ask, before we anoint them with oil. For any of you guys have words, God saying anything to you guys? We've invited some ministers from and our bishop to be here. Anybody got anything? Christine, you have something. Do you want to? Do you want to go first? When we're done with this, we get to have communion, and the elders will serve in their capacity as servants today. So
this morning, I was getting a particular word, and the Lord just opened this up to me. 1 Chronicles 11:11 is, it begins an account of David's mighty men. And the verse that just stood out to me was, just a sec here. Eleazar was with David when the Philistines were gathered there for battle. There was a plot of ground full of barley, and the men fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and killed the Philistines. And the Lord saved them by a great victory. And I felt like the Lord is calling you men, exactly, and with your families, to be defenders of the plot of land which is full of barley. But he's called you to be defenders of the faith, defenders of his church, defenders of the land. And it says that the Lord saved them by a great victory. And I believe that this is a marker day, as has been spoken, of where much change is going to be happening in your personal lives, but also in this church. I was feeling it as you were walking up, a real excitement in my heart and stirring in my spirit. And a shift is happening. And so I thank you that you're going to do this in love for the brothers. And that is the other scripture that I had. Okay, in 1 John 3:16, it says this, "For by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." In 1 John 3:16, it says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." And I felt like you're called to this. Be the defenders of the faith and the land and the people, the church. You're put in this position, but you're going to do it all through the power of the love of God. And that's what's going to give you the might and the strength to do it. And so I bless you.
Very good. Very good.
Hey, everybody. Just wanted to say how delighted we are to stand with you all as a church. Just as Christine was sharing that blessing, I don't know, the sun started coming through and it just felt brighter. And so this is Murray Duick. How many know Murray? He's a real gifted prophetic voice that we get to walk together with, Josh and I, Murray and the rest. And so we do like to minister together a lot. So I'm just going to have Murray share just briefly what's on his heart, and then I just want to share a quick verse, okay?
Okay, so quickly, the phrase I got was the pulse, and what you guys are stepping into is catching the pulse. And I remember when Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, and the Pharisees were getting all offended, you know, "Who is this man eating with these people?" And Jesus goes, "You know, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick," right? The Pharisees are using a legal paradigm. Jesus is using a doctoral paradigm. He's talking about sickness and where people are out on a health paradigm, right? So the idea is, when you look and you walk with people, the idea isn't, what are they doing wrong? The idea is, how do I get them better? That's a different way of looking at people, right? And as you guys walk, you're going to get the pulse of what God's doing. If it's a season of evangelism, you're going to go, you're going to see it. You know what I'm reading in my Bible right now? Me too, me too, me too. And as you compare as elders, you're going to realize, wow, we're catching something together. If it's a season of healing, you're going to find that. If it's a season of a new musical expression, a new prophecy expression, as you guys get to know each other, you're going to go, wow, are you getting that pulse too? You're going to feel the pulse of the health of the body and where it's going, and you're going to hear it through each other. So to know each other relationally, to really be open and honest about what you're going through, to listen to what you're hearing individually, that will help you get a pulse of the body as the Spirit speaks through you, right? So you need to honor what each of you hears in community, because it'll be a microcosm of what's going on out here, yeah? And as long as you're walking in a community of listening love, it'll be an easy road, right? It'll be an easy road as you learn to be professional medical doctors of the body, right? There you go.
Good.
Thanks, Mike.
That was really good. There's a verse, a couple of verses in 1 Timothy I just want to share with you. And because this church carries a solid prophetic mantle, which means we want to be led by the voice of God and by his heart. The things that Murray just shared with you will become more important to you as you lean into the voice of God for the church. Whatever, Murray and I talk about this, that prophetically we're often asked to walk out the things that God is bringing to us as a body. It's not always as the first thing that we would pick. But he asks us to walk out. Sometimes he'll give you a prophetic word and ask you to live out that word as an example for the body of Christ. And so what takes place in your own personal lives will not be just for you. It will also be for the body. So Paul says to Timothy these great words, "This I charge and I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their lives." So a couple of very important things on this is the prophetic words that have been spoken over your lives as families and as individuals, rehearse them, talk about them, share them among yourselves. Strengthen yourselves in them. Remind yourselves of those words. Remind yourselves of the words that have been given over this church, over the body, and rehearse those kind of things. Write them down, go over them together, talk about them, and ask and lean into what the heart of the Father is through those prophetic words. It says, by remembering those words, you will wage a good warfare, that some who have put them off and forgotten them have led their lives into shipwreck. So it's really important to remember and celebrate the things that God is speaking among us. We live in a day that's so instant, you know, prophecies are like text messages that we delete after we've gotten them. God says, don't. If I give you a word, I'm giving you the word. Pay attention to them, write them down, rehearse them, walk through them, and celebrate those kind of things. He goes on in Timothy and he says, do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourselves and on this teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourselves and those that hear you. And so I just want to say on behalf of Sylvia and I and everything that we carry, we bless you in Jesus' name. My dad, a great patriarch, said to me, as he's getting older, whenever you speak over leaders, remind them to be humble. Please just remind them to be humble. It's in humility, because you will encounter things that will arouse your flesh. Humility is the only thing that can really put our flesh at rest. Humility. Remembering, don't believe the lie. Don't get offended. Remember, it's not about you. But this is a glorious day. So we just bless you in Jesus' name.
it's important for us anyway to have Steve and Sylvia with us, because they, if we had a bishop, they would be the bishop. They're also like a bishop is also apostle, and the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets being the ones that we read about in the Word, but also the ones that walk among us. And it's important that they establish things, and it's important that they be with us. We also have with us one of the most sincere pastors that I know. Pastor Paul is with us. And so I'm going to ask you guys to anoint them in a minute, okay? You can relax. It's okay. We got oil and everything. Spare no expense. You know, talking about humility, you know, the elder's prayer is about the pastor is, Lord, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. Think about it. No, not anymore. Okay, I'm going to make a charge to these guys. May God, our Heavenly Father, who has called you to the holy office, guide you by his word, equip you with his Holy Spirit, and so bless your ministry that his church may increase, the kingdom be extended, and his name be praised forever. Amen. Elders to be, I charge you, dear brothers and fellow servants in Christ, be diligent in the leadership of the church, which is committed to you jointly with the other elders. Be shepherds of God's flock, which is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Do not lord it over those who are entrusted to your care, but be an example to them. Pray continually for the church. Pray continually for the church. Be faithful watchmen over the house of God, ensuring that pure doctrine and godly living are maintained. Be diligent in these matters. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, congregation, this is for you. This is your charge. And I charge you, people of God, respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, so that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for them, encourage them in their calling, and faithfully work with them to glorify God and to build up his church and to draw the lost to Christ. Pastor Samuel, Maddie, Christine, Bishop, Sylvia, you want to come up too? Yeah. On you guys. Well, we got the real smelly oil, so. You can start down there. It may get messy now. We tried to kind of contain it a little bit, but sometimes anointing with oil gets messy. So start down that way and anoint them, and I'm going to pray as you're doing this. Join me in prayer. Our merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for providing faithful and gifted servants to build up the body of Christ. As these brothers assume the responsibility of their offices, we pray that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit. Filling them with the Holy Spirit now would be good, Lord. May we, your people, receive them as having been sent by you. We ask that you will equip them with wisdom and give them strength for their tasks. May they be faithful workers in your vineyard. Under their guidance, let your church grow in every spiritual grace, in faith which is open and unashamed, and in the committed service that promotes the reign of Jesus Christ in the world. Deliver them from an attitude toward their offices that is casual or self-assured. In their work, grant them a humble dependence upon your grace that they may come to you with all of their needs. Through their ministry, preserve the church in peace, and may she grow in number and in holiness. Give them courage to fulfill their callings against every difficulty, and grant them power through your Spirit to be steadfast to the end. Thank you, Lord. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray.